I just really enjoyed it. And the other thing I really enjoyed about it was just the diversity of kids that were on our team. You had kids from all walks of life, and it was a real brotherhood. And that was one of the things that I thought the game of football brought so much, was just that sense of family and brotherhood.
You know, there's very few things left that teach kids delayed gratification. And all of us know that if you want to be successful in anything, you're going to have to learn this concept of grit, this idea that I'm not going to see my reward right now. I'm not going to see it tomorrow. I'm not going to see it today. That there's going to be, I'm going to have to put in some effort to get the rewards I want.
Midland and Mount Pleasant get together in one of the biggest high school football showdowns in the state of Michigan this Friday night. Eric Mettner and Jason McIntyre have their teams ranked very high in the state, and you'll hear from both of them on episode 13 of A Duff Said, and that starts now. I am joined now by the head coach of the Midland Kimmicks football team. Eric Mettner is in his 12th season with the Midland Kimmicks. This is his 19th year overall. And right now, the rankings have just come out, Coach. You remained the number one team in Division II. How have you guys responded to being the top dog?
I think the kids kind of get a kick out of that. And but as coaches, you know, we just kind of worry about the next week on our schedule. It's a little bit of an honor, but I think it bodes more to the tradition that we have at Midland High and a little bit about our success that we had last year making it to the semifinals.
How have you kept your guys grounded through all that?
Well, we have a great group of kids that are really smart, and I think they have a pretty good understanding about where we're at as a football team. And one of our focuses is to just try to be a better team each and every week. And I certainly think we're a better football team, you know, going into week six than we were week one. So we're happy with that. That's always one of our goals. And you know, our kids realize that they cannot – you know, look too far ahead, or they cannot, you know, think of themselves as being too good when we can see on film after each and every week that there are things that we need to improve upon.
It is a struggle to get better week by week because there's always something new that you got to prepare for, but you guys have seemed to answer that pretty well. You guys are 5-0 right now, and you're tied for first in the Saginaw Valley League Blue. What has been working well for you guys getting to the midway point of the season undefeated?
Just overall collective team effort, I would say. We've been really good on our special teams. Offensively, we've been fairly balanced, and we have three or four guys that are capable of making plays. Our quarterback does a nice job within our offense of distributing the ball and getting the ball to some of our playmakers. So we have some guys at our skill positions that can hurt you, and then we have a running back that's a good, tough, downhill kid. Our offensive line has gotten better every week. That's been the key to our season. When we started the year, you know, that was one of our question marks. We had some young offensive linemen, and even some of the guys that were coming back were inexperienced in terms of varsity, you know, play. So that was one of our concerns, and those guys have stepped up and did a nice job and gotten better every week. Defensively, we're playing fast. We're not very big, but our kids do a good job within our scheme, and they understand assignment football and gap, you know, their gap responsibilities and different things like that. So we're playing fast and aggressive.
Taking a look at what is in front of you guys this Friday night, you got a big matchup at Mount Pleasant. Now the Oilers just cracked the top five in Division III, and they're on an incredible roll right now. They've won 18 games in a row in the regular season. That's a streak that is now 2 years old, so they're doing pretty well for themselves, obviously. But what would you say is your team's mindset heading into this matchup?
Well, Mount Pleasant is always a red-letter game on our schedule. We know that they're going to be really good. And we knew going into this year that they had some really good players coming back and they were going to be really solid. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, you can't sugarcoat it. It's going to have a huge impact on the SVL title for our division. They're a very good football team, very well coached. They have some outstanding players. Their defense is solid with a couple bookend defensive ends that are really legit and big, strong kids, and their safeties fly to the ball and their linebackers get there, and just good fundamentally sound, well-coached defense. And then offensively, they're a downhill power team. They have a really good offensive line, a running back who runs extremely hard, very tough and durable, a quarterback who's extremely fast, and then they can make some plays in their play action passing game, and they're very good at their tunnel screens as well. So we'll have our hands full. Our defense will have to really be keen and play really good assignment football Friday night.
This is definitely one of those measuring stick games that everyone talks about. And certainly that was the case for you guys last season. You know, a year ago, you lost to the Oilers at your place 40-20. But then moving forward, you reel off 6 wins in a row and you get within a game of the state finals. So what was your takeaway from that loss?
Well, we learned a few things at the beginning of the year last year. You know, we were still trying to fit some pieces of the puzzle together to give us the best football team we could possibly be. And I think that Mount Pleasant game, like you mentioned, was a very good learning experience for us because we figured out a couple things that we had to change up. And when we made those changes after that ball game, we just kind of took off a little bit and then continued to get better, the 5 or 6 games after that ball game. So, you know, when you play a really good team like that, sometimes it exposes some things that you're a little deficient at. And credit to my coaching staff for making some adjustments after that and trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle that we needed to make our team better.
We've talked about last season a few times during this conversation, and looking at how you guys started last year, you guys opened the year 0-2, and things didn't exactly go according to plan because you had some struggles there on offense. And that's when you made the decision to call up Al Money from your junior varsity team. And if you can forgive the cliche, coach, he has been money for you guys at quarterback. You guys go 9-1 from that point on, and you average 35 points or more in several of those wins. What did you see in him that gave you the confidence that he could do all that as a sophomore quarterback?
Well, he's just a really heady kid. He's a sports junkie. He plays football, basketball, baseball. He had an older brother, Martin, that played in our program, who graduated a couple years ago. So Al was always hanging around with those older guys and getting beat up a little bit, playing with the older kids, and just extremely smart, extremely intelligent, but also very talented as well. We like to call it moxie. Al's got a lot of moxie when he's out there. Just very level-headed, has a great understanding of what's going on, can stay cool under pressure. And then he's also talented. He can throw the football. He's got great instincts when he runs the ball. And as the season went on and on last year, you know, when he first came up, he was running a quarter of the offense. And then, you know, by game two, he was running half the offense. And then as our season progressed, by the time we were playing Dow at the end of the year, week 9, and then along into the playoffs, we were adding things to our, you know, normal offense. So he was running 100% of the stuff that we like to do and then some. And it's a testament to his makeup and understanding of the game. And just like I said, his overall moxie, and that he could absorb those things and be able to go out and put his talents on display on Friday night.
He responded very well to making that move from the junior varsity to the varsity. And like you said, he really had all the skills necessary to do it. But when you came up to him that first time and said, kid, we're going to give you a shot to be quarterback of this team, how did he react to that?
He was extremely excited. In fact, I called him because when I made the decision, he was up north because it was right after our game 2 against Carmen Ainsworth, and it was on Labor Day weekend. So he was up north at a friend's, and I had met with our coaches, and we decided we were going to make the change, and I called him, and he was extremely excited. He was fired up from the get-go, and when we came back for practice, actually on that Monday, Labor Day, he was fired up, ready to go. So, and like you said, he hasn't missed a beat since, and we're expecting him to continue to play very well for us the rest of the year.
We're talking with Eric Mettner of the Midland Kimmicks football team. He is the head coach of the Kimmicks. Now, Coach, a season ago, you guys made it all the way to the state semifinals. And even though you lost that game to Mona Shores, I'll never forget what you said to your guys in the huddle after that game. You said, "You have taken this community on an amazing journey." And I got to tell you, Coach, Midland has always been one of my favorite places to go to, whether it's to go see you guys or Dow. I love coming to your stadium. You guys have a great facility, and you both have amazing fan bases. But knowing that it was you guys at Midland that made it that far in the end, and you got a chance to represent the community, what was that journey like, and what was it like to watch that unfold?
Well, it was a great experience anytime you could make it to the semis. I mean, obviously, we were disappointed. You know, I thought we played tough in that Muskegon-Mona Shores game, and we were right with them through the end of the third quarter. And then, you know, they made a couple big plays on us and kind of you know, blew the game open and kind of sealed it there in the fourth quarter with a couple big plays. But very proud of our kids' effort, and just we have a long tradition here at Midland High and take a lot of pride in our football program, and our community takes a lot of pride, and we have a tremendous fan base from, you know, all the Kimmicks. I get emails and texts and a lot of things from people all over the country, you know, who are alumni, who are constantly checking in to see how the Kimmicks football team is doing. So we have tremendous support. We take a lot of pride in our program. And, you know, sometimes you get the breaks and you can make a nice playoff run like that. And we were able to do it last year.
A lot of people may not know this about Midland, but you're only the fifth head coach that program has had. And when you inherited the head coaching job for the Kimmicks, they had already reeled off 31 winning seasons in a row. And at the time, it was the longest winning streak in the state of Michigan. How have you been able to carry on that tradition? And really, how do you account for it? And what's it been like to be a part of that?
Well, you know, like I said, I think the kids in our community growing up to be Kimmicks take a lot of pride in our program. Our community takes a lot of pride, and it's just an expectation here. And I think when you have that kind of expectation, the kids, you know, when they join our program, they understand that what the expectations are. They're going to be pushed. They're going to be coached. They're going to be expected to play good competitive football and give themselves a chance to win. And you know, I have a tremendous coaching staff, and you know, I've been here for 12 years, and I've had very little, you know, very few guys leave. I've had a very loyal JV staff, freshman staff, varsity staff, who have been with me for a long time, and a lot of those guys are former Midland High players themselves, so they take a tremendous amount of pride in what we do with our program. So, it's been an incredible honor. It's been a privilege to be the head coach here, and I've really enjoyed it and hope to continue.
When you took over as head coach at Midland back in 2008, you had already had the chance to coach at your alma mater back in Coleman, and you were also at Houghton Lake. And when the Midland job became available back in 2008, was it always on your radar, or was it just one of those situations where it was right time, right opportunity?
Well, I actually came to Midland High in 2004, and Terry Wilczek was the head coach, but they had a physical education opening, and Terry got a hold of me about possibly seeing if I wanted to come down here and join his staff, and it just worked out well. I had two young boys who were 5 and 3 at the time, and I knew all the different opportunities that Midland would afford them growing up in this community. So my wife and I sat down and talked about it, and we said, "Hey, this is a, you know, program that has great tradition and you know," and I grew up in Coleman myself, so I knew what Midland, you know, high school was all about and the Kimmicks. And so it was really a pretty easy decision for us to do it.
You couldn't have asked for a better place than Midland. Midland is such a beautiful town. You've got that amazing stadium where the Great Lakes Loons play, Dow Diamond. And really, Midland is just a great place overall to settle down in. I read a quote from you recently in the Midland Daily that you plan to keep on doing this for a long time. What keeps you going every day?
Oh, I'm just competitive, for one thing. The relationship with the kids, I really enjoy. I really enjoy the challenge of the schemes and game planning. I like the challenge of being organized with your practices and just, you know, some of the administrative things that you even have to do as a head coach, you know, and organizational duties that you have, you know, dealing with team parents and team moms and orchestrating dinners and all those things, you know, equipment. It's a full-time job. It's, you know, people sometimes will ask me, you know, in December or January, hey, what are you doing now that football's over? Are you bored? And it's, and you kind of just chuckle to yourself because it's a year round operation, between all the strength and conditioning things that we do and the speed and agility things that we do in the off season, and, you know, trying to get kids, recruited and talking with, different college coaches when they come on their visits. And then, you know, just planning for the next year and all those different things. I really enjoy it. You know, I enjoy Friday nights. I enjoy the games, the competitiveness, but I really like preparing for the games just as much and just trying to put together a good game plan with our kids and then going out and trying to teach the things that I think we need to be able to do to allow us to have success in the ball game.
You've been doing this for 19 seasons and you've racked up 128 career wins as a head coach. But in addition to coaching, you were also a standout baseball player from Coleman and later Central Michigan University. You actually got drafted by the Yankees and Tigers. What are some of your favorite memories from those days?
Oh, a lot of memories. Just, you know, I enjoyed sports when I was growing up as a kid. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of things to do, especially in Coleman. So all we did was played outside and played sports. And me and my friends, it was kind of seasonal. You know, when it turned to autumn, we were out playing football and, you know, and I was playing quarterback with my buddies and having a blast. And then in the winter we'd be inside and we'd be playing hoops. And then, you know, and then as soon as the spring rolled around, then we could start firing the baseball around. And we just loved to play football, basketball, and baseball. And I have some tremendous memories of, growing up, in that community and you know, summer baseball you know, as well as high school stuff, but some great memories, great bonds with teammates, you know, and then, you know, doing some of the other summer things with All-Stars and different stuff like that. And some of the experiences that I got to do, traveling around and playing ball. So, it was good. Unfortunately, I hurt my shoulder and put an end to that, but I always knew in the back of my mind, I wanted to be a teacher and a coach. And a lot of people always ask me, you know, why aren't you more involved in baseball? Why did you gravitate toward football? And to be honest with you, football was my favorite sport when I was in high school. I played quarterback. I was kind of like I am now in terms of liking the strategies, the schemes of the game. I kind of had that quarterback mentality. And I just really enjoyed it. And the other thing I really enjoyed about it was just the diversity of kids that were on our team. You had kids from all walks of life, and it was a real brotherhood. And that was one of the things that I thought the game of football brought so much, was just that sense of family and brotherhood as a team, because you go through so much. I don't think there's a sport that you work any harder than football, and you make more sacrifices, and guys have to be very selfless and dedicated. And that's why that's what I always fell in love with the game of football about, and that's why I'm still coaching it today.
One last question for you, Coach. Aside from the game of football itself, and like you said, that is your passion, what is something that you hope that the guys take with them that you have taught them when their time as Kimmicks comes to an end and it's time to take that next step in their lives?
Well, just, you know, kind of like the things that I just mentioned, you know, the amount of sacrifice and dedication and commitment that it takes to be a football player and to be have a successful team, the discipline it takes, those are all things that they're going to be able to take with them in their lives. And no matter what they do, the things that they gain in terms of work ethic, accountability, responsibility, you know, selflessness, those are all things that we really preach within our football program, and we really emphasize with our kids. And I think our kids really buy into it, and they understand that they need to be accountable. And those are all lessons that they can take on in life and when they go to college and later when they're parents, you know, husbands, when they have a job, all those things, they can apply the lessons that they learned in football, hopefully.
He is Eric Metner, the head coach of the Midland Kimmicks football team. Coach Metner, best of luck to you on Friday night, and thanks for stopping by this week on A Duff Said.
You bet. I appreciate you having me on. I always like talking about the Kimmicks.
And certainly we had fun talking to you about them as well. But up next, we're going to be talking about the Oilers. Jason McIntyre's team has won 18 games in a row in the regular season, and that's A Duff Said. Want to get my takes on sports here in the state of Michigan? Well, that's easy. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page, sports journalist Duff Tyler. You can also find me on Twitter. I have the handle at DuffTyler. And you can also listen to previous episodes of A Duff Said. Just go to my website, DuffTyler.podbean.com. I am joined now by the head coach of the Mount Pleasant Oilers. Jason McIntyre joins us now on A Duff Said. Coach, thank you so much for making the time this week.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
I want to start this conversation by talking about the night of September 22nd, 2017. You had just lost your second game in a row. You lost back-to-back games to Midland and Lapeer. Now, both of those games were pretty lopsided, and at that point, you're 1-4, and you look at where you are now. You haven't lost a game in the regular season since. 18 wins in a row. What was the mood like at Lapeer 2 years ago that just really turned things around for you guys?
Well, to be honest with you, that Lapeer loss is one of the tougher losses we've had. I mean, the final score doesn't dictate. We're up 13 points at half. and then everything fell apart in the half. And a lot of it was one of those games that's midway through the year and it was 90 degrees. And, you know, Lapeer had, you know, 60 guys on the sideline and we had 30. And we got wore out. I think the biggest thing about both that season and even the previous season 16 is that thankfully we had tradition in our program to kind of fall back on. I mean, our players came from a program that was accustomed to winning and having success. And so, I don't think there was, our coaches had been around for a while. And I think we were able to not establish in a sense of panic of any kind or anything like that. Obviously when you lose that fourth game in a season, there's always that nervousness of what's going to happen to the psychology of the team because, you know, you got to get your 6 wins to get in the playoff and all that kind of stuff. So when you get to 4, everybody starts to wonder, well, what's left of the season and that. But, we had a good group of leaders that kept us focused and we fought through a lot of adversity and that team sure did start kind of a, you know, which carried over into the next year. You know, we had some young juniors who were contributing to that team that would be seniors in 18 and, so, yeah, I mean, we're not, you know, this program's not, it's not a stranger to having some success. And so I think that was a big reason we were able to do that.
You did get 5 wins that year, but you just missed out on the playoffs that season. So when you're wrapping things up that year, what did you say to the guys that gave them the confidence that they came back the following year and went 9-0?
Yeah, well, I think, some of that I hit on in the sense that, well, the one nice thing about, it's unusual for us, I guess, around here, that was unique about that year is, you know, almost every season you're going to end the season with a loss. I mean, if you're going to have success, if you're going to make the playoffs, odds are, you know, not everybody wins a state championship. Very few do. You know, 8 teams out of all 500 are going to win a state championship. So the odds of, you know, losing your last game once you make the playoffs are pretty high. So to be able to finish the season on a win, there's a lot of good that comes out of that. There's a lot of confidence and things that come out of the young group. Winning 4 in a row, obviously, is even more important. A lot of confidence. So I think the confidence of winning 4 in a row, the confidence of, you know, winning that last game and feeling good about things, and more importantly, the tradition that our program had established, I think was motivation for those players, both in the off season and heading into the next year.
And looking where you are now, not only have you won 18 in a row, but you have won all but 2 of those games by double digits. So you're getting it done on both sides of the ball. As a coach, what's it like to see the guys just go out every week and execute the way they have?
Well, I think you talked about getting done on both sides of the ball, but I think it all revolves around your defense. I think when you can be really, really effective on defense, that gives your offense more opportunities. And in high school football, if you have more opportunities, eventually I think you're going to find a way to make a big play. Sure, our offense has been productive, and we've had some great players like Jackson at quarterback last year and things like that. But I think a lot of it revolves around, you know, us playing really sound, disciplined defense that's given our offense lots of opportunities.
The rankings have just come out, and you have cracked the top five in Division III, so you're starting to get some attention drawn your way. People often tell me, you know, the rankings don't really mean much, especially midway through the season, but at the same time, is there kind of a reward factor for you guys for all that you've done thus far?
Well, I think the players make a lot more out of that than I do as a coach. You know, I mean, when I was a player, I can remember, you know, whether it was our football team or our basketball team, and we had some success a couple times I played, is seeing that in the top 10 or the top whatever, you kind of, you know, you enjoy that. It's a feather in your cap. It's something you like to talk about. It's something that players can put in their scrapbooks, their memories and things for the future. You know, I don't think it, like you said, I'm not sure there's a lot of merit to it at this point in terms of what it means. It just means that people recognize the tradition of our program as being successful, and they recognize that we're having a good year, and that gets us kind of the recognition you discussed. So we're happy to be there. When we kick off and that offensive tackle from Midland or that defensive back from Midland goes to make a play, they're not going to care whether we're 5 or 7 or 30.
What has been key to your 5-0 start this year?
Leadership has been the biggest thing. Guys who experienced our season last year, had roles in that season, and then came back with, you know, bought into what we're trying to do. But I definitely think leadership has been really key to our ability. And just what's really unique about this team that's been so fun is a complete lack of unselfishness. There's nobody on this team that's concerned about, like, for example, Zach Mogg was a 1,000-yard rusher. He wouldn't care one bit if he ends up another 1,000-yard rusher or not. It's just not anything he cares about. He's doing whatever he can to help our team win. And having someone like that that's the leader of your program is crucial to the reason that we've been able to continue to have the success we have. We spread the ball around, and nobody really – receivers go down and block. They do the things they ask. And we don't have a lot of people, worried about their individual accomplishments. And I think that's been a really, really big part of it.
We're talking with Jason McIntyre, the head football coach of the Mount Pleasant High School football team. The Oilers have won 18 regular season games in a row. And about this streak that you've been on, Coach, this streak also gave you a significant milestone. In your win over Grand Rapids Kinawa Hills last year, you got career win number 100. What does it mean to you to reach the century mark in career wins?
Well, that's a milestone in coaching in high school football. There's no doubt about it. And it's a humbling experience. I'm thankful to all of the people and the players, mostly the players that have been involved in making that happen. And it's really just about our program. I've coached at many, I've coached at other schools and different levels and stuff. And there are a lot of good high school football coaches out there that grind away and get 4 or 5 wins, in a season and never see the 100, to get there, it was special. I'm very thankful. But really, it's a credit to just how awesome the players I've been that were. They're what keep me going in this. What was really made it special for me was not the 100 wins, but it was the players from, 10, 12 years ago that reached out to me to talk about their season or talk about the award and, how they felt part of it. And that really, really was what made it nice for me.
One of the best parts about this job is that I get to talk to people when they get career milestones like that, but I'm also curious how people get from point A to point B. Do you remember anything at all about the first one that you got?
Absolutely. I remember like yesterday because it was over Midland. So it was 2006 and we opened our season with Midland, 2006 my first year. And so it's funny, how the circles, circles around. But, when I took over the program, and even before that, when my dad and I kind of, started here at Mount Pleasant and when we first joined the Valley in 2005, the previous season, Midland was always, the upper echelon of the league. They were the standard. And so I made it my priority that was the standard we wanted to match. And that was what the team that we wanted to build our program around. In terms of, what we had to do to beat them. And to be able to do that in your first game as a head coach was pretty special. So, we worked really hard that offseason and we, looked a lot at what, Midland did and tried to develop what we were going to do around them. And we were able to pull out a win that first year against Midland, which was very exciting.
You could not have picked a better program at that time to model yours after than Midland. At the time that that was going on, they had one of the longest streaks for consecutive winning seasons. I think that streak went on for like the better part of four decades. So yeah, they were a pretty good measuring stick for you.
Absolutely. They are the, you know, they're what the Saginaw Valley League has kind of been measured by for years. And tons of respect for what Midland does and all of the coaches that have been there. And you know, they have that kind of tradition that the players just expect, and they do things a certain way. And so, yeah, that was our target. And when we joined the league, there were a lot of doubters, and myself included. I'll be honest with you, at times just thinking, this is the Saginaw Valley League. We're a small school coming from the Mid-Michigan Conference, and how are we going to compete? And instead of really whining about it and making excuses, we just decided to buckle up and find a way to make it work. And that's what we've been able to do.
So you got that first career win against Midland way back in the day. When did you first discover that you had an interest in coaching?
Pretty early on. You know, I mean, I'm a coach's son. I was a really competitive player, and I always saw the game more than just, like, you know, doing my individual job when I played. And I think a lot of the guys that I played would probably tell you I was coaching too much when I was a player. You know, I was kind of that guy that didn't like it when my teammates didn't go hard or do something the right way, and would call them out. And I just think that I had a sense of knack for the competitiveness of sports from an early age, and probably just because I was always in a gym or always on a field. I mean, that's just how I grew up. So I've always enjoyed athletics and the competition and the stuff that comes with it. And so I knew that probably was going to be part of what I wanted to do.
What was it like that first time when you held a practice and suddenly you realized that you were going forward with coaching?
Geez, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's so many different levels to that. There's I can remember my first time ever coaching high school football just as an assistant, you know, and wondering what the heck I was doing when I was really just all I remembered was playing, and I'm running around, you know, pretty much acting like a player, just trying to tell the kids what I did, you know. And then you go to clinics and you talk to other coaches, and you just the biggest thing that I think anything for a young coach is just you got to really go out and learn. You have to not say that you have it figured out. You have to go out and learn why coaches do things. You got to watch other programs. You got to go to clinics, and then you got to take that information and decide what you think you can teach and understand. And the more you do that, the better you'll be. I still continue to stay to try to expand on what I know and what I can teach better.
I read a quote about you that you are driven by a passion for the city of Mount Pleasant and the program. Now, like we've touched on, this is the 14th year you've been head coach at Mount Pleasant, but what brought you over to the program from Beaverton back in 2003?
Well, you know, I'm an alumni of Mount Pleasant High School, so I played here. And so that's really what brought me back. I think I can remember, it's crazy now looking back at it when you're here so long, but I remember that being my dream kind of to be the coach at Mount Pleasant. I never thought it would happen back then. There were coaches that were in place and things. And so when I was at CMU as a student, learning to get my teaching degree, I came over and coached JV football here at Mount Pleasant and things. And then when I got my first teaching job in Beaverton, and I was fortunate to work under Mark Grove, who's an awesome man. And he gave me a lot of opportunities. He let me learn how to be a coach. You know, I ran the defense on the varsity at just the age of, you know, I don't know, 23 years old, you know, and 20, you know, right out of college. And I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes and I learned a lot of things. I got better as went. And I did that until a position opened back here in Mount Pleasant, both teaching and coaching. And I was fortunate to kind of, my dad, who's coached many sports at Mount Pleasant, was him and I kind of took over the program together in 2003. And we did it for a couple of years together, and, you know, he decided that he could see where it was going and how my passion was pretty much, a little bit, you know, he was engraved in what he's doing. So he stepped aside, and I guess the rest is history.
You guys are going to have a tremendous showdown this Friday night in Mount Pleasant. And as far as Midland and Mount Pleasant go as communities, they're two of my favorites that I love to go cover on Friday nights. And I always love going to Mount Pleasant. And when I do, it's usually for Central Michigan football when I'm not doing this for the job. And, you know, Saturdays are always reserved for CMU. But on Friday nights, your place is always packed. You got a great stadium and you always bring out a huge crowd. What's it like to be the big ticket item in Mount Pleasant on Friday nights?
Well, it's something we've worked hard to get. You know, like you said, it's different here. You know, you look at a community like maybe Bay City where Central football is their only thing, and they show up every time. But, you know, there's been times here where you kind of felt like little brother to CMU, which makes sense. You know, they're right here. And, you know, but I think our success and the tradition we built and to be honest with you, the good football we play, I mean, it's exciting to come watch us. And, yeah, we expect an enormous crowd Friday. I think I told the players, this is what you play football for. This is the reward you get for having success is you get a game like this. And it's something not to be nervous about or uptight about. It's something to be really excited about. And so they've worked really hard. They've had success. Midland's the same way. And it sets up one of those showdowns. You know, we've had a couple of these over the years. I can remember in 2009, they came here in the middle of the season, and we were both almost identical, both undefeated. And so there's been times like this, and it's always a really exciting atmosphere. And like you said, two great programs with two good fan bases.
Sounds like you've had this one circled on the calendar for a while now.
Well, the players certainly do here. And like I said, you know, Midland is a program that we measure ourselves against. So when you get that opportunity to find out where you're made, this is what it is. It's a measuring stick for us this Friday, and we're certainly going to find out where we're at.
The Kimmicks are currently number one in Division II, and you guys are top five in Division III. And like you said, this is one of those measuring stick type games. This game could go a long way to determining the conference title in the Saginaw Valley League Blue. What will your approach be to Friday night?
Well, the biggest thing is to not, and from a football standpoint, is not to approach it any different than any other night besides, you know, your game plan being different because it's a different opponent. But we have to approach our practice and our mentality and our preparation in the same way we do any other. If we get caught up in worrying about who the opponent is and get all amped up and emotional about it, then we're going to be find ourselves out of assignment and out of place, and things aren't going to go very well for us. I've seen that happen in games before. So we have to play within ourselves and, you know, stick to our game plan. And find a way to just do all the things that are important in any game that to win. You got to establish the line of scrimmage. You got to make big explosive plays, and you have to limit the turnovers so you win the turnover battle. So those are the things we always preach, and those are what we'll have to do again on Friday.
Big football matchup taking place this Friday, and we touched on it a few times, but I want to switch gears now, Coach, and talk to you about something that I've always respected about you. Not only are you a football coach, you're also a science teacher, too, and I am a big fan of science. People always come up to me, and they tell me how cool it is that I work in television, and they want to know what they can do to get in that industry, and I always tell them, you don't want to be in TV, you want to be in science. The world needs more scientists. What got you interested in that subject?
I think, like a lot of other teachers, I had awesome science teachers in high school. They had a passion for the subject, and the most important thing is they made me feel really good about my ability in their classes. They made me feel good about being a student. They gave me successes, and I enjoyed it. And I think there's a lot of correlation to the way I approach football, too, in the sense that I'm always intrigued with the explanation for anything in the natural world. You know, why do things work the way they do? How do things work the way they do? That's what science is all about. And in football, the technical and the X and O part of the game is similar in that sense. You know, why do I play this technique and how does it give me an advantage to do this? And why is this defense in this situation and things? And so I think in terms of the way my brain works individually, there's a carryover there. I think I had just awesome science teachers who gave me a passion for the subject. Then I thought, well, they correlate together. I didn't know if I was going to go into education at first and whether I was just going to follow like a pre-med path or do something like that and work in those fields until I became obviously passionate about coaching as well. And I knew the best option for me was to combine the two.
How many kids on your team take your class?
Oh, it varies. I have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. So the nice thing for me is I get a lot of our freshmen and sophomore players who will be future varsity players. So I get to establish a relationship with them kind of early in a different way. Which is nice. So I don't have a lot of my varsity players in classes. I've had a few of them in some of my when I have like an elective class or not, but I deal with mostly the younger students here at the school.
I can see that the passion for education as well is coming out in a lot of your players. In particular, you have a senior on your team, Tyler Huneman. Not only has he been a leader for your program, but he's going to go on to Harvard next year. You don't necessarily go to an Ivy League school to be a football star. You go there to get a world-class education. What's it been like to see guys like him grow and get that kind of opportunity?
Yeah, Tyler's a special person in that sense. And the biggest reason is one thing that's very frustrating in high school football these days is the this, I don't know how to explain it, but this social media frenzy of, you know, what – camp am I going to, and what college is talking to me, and what offers do I have, and all this stuff. And kids get some kids who are just, it's not even a reality for them, are getting drawn into that and don't know that because they don't have the experiences their parents don't have, and think that that's something that football gives you. And Tyler, on the other hand, is the exact opposite of that. He worked his tail off at football, wanted to be great at football, wanted to have opportunities in football, and he's blessed with the genetics of size and speed that you need in order to play at the next level. But he has an upbringing and an approach to it in a whole different way. You know, he obviously was recruited, had 19, 20 offers from all sorts of Division I schools. But I think his approach to it was, what's setting me up for my best future? Because that's, I mean, I want to make a college decision like anybody else would. And, you know, he used football as his avenue to make that decision. And so humbled by the type of person he is and the ability to work with a player like that. And he's been a great role model for the rest of our program.
Lastly, Coach, when you talk about guys who are thinking about their futures and when they move on from your program and they graduate Mount Pleasant High School, what are some lessons that you hope you've imparted on them?
Great question. And I think it's why we got to save this sport and we got to continue to preach the benefits of high school football. You know, there's very few things left that teach kids delayed gratification. And all of us know that if you want to be successful in anything, you're going to have to learn this concept of grit, this idea that I'm not going to see my reward right now. I'm not going to see it tomorrow. I'm not going to see it today. That there's going to be, I'm going to put in some effort to get the rewards I want. And there really are very few things left that give young people that experience, you know, in athletics or some, but football more than any, because we have one game a week, 9 games a season, and they mean a lot. And you spend way more time practicing than you ever do competing. And so you learn this idea that the preparation and the effort outside the game become crucial to what you want. And that's really why I love football. That's really why I think it's so important. I hope that's what the players that have played for me learn. And I think that, you know, I love hearing from the alumni and the players and the positive things they have to say about what football meant to them.
He is Jason McIntyre, the head coach of the Mount Pleasant High School football team. The Oilers, currently ranked in the top 5 in Division 3. They host Midland this Friday night, kickoff at 7 o'clock in Mount Pleasant. Coach McIntyre, thank you so much for making the time. This was an amazing conversation.
Oh, I appreciate it, Duff. It's awesome to talk about our program, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much, Coach McIntyre. I appreciate you saying that. It's the big announcement that 4 student sections in mid-Michigan have been waiting to hear. That's coming up next. If this was your first time listening to A Duff Said, thank you so much for hitting the play button. Now, how about you go to my website, DuffTyler.podbean.com, and check out some of our previous episodes.
I was going into the game thinking, why should we lose? You know, other than the reason that they're beat here, why should we lose? So to everyone else, you know, yeah, you're underdogs, but to me, and I think to most of the guys on the team, we're probably thinking, we should probably win the game.
This game of basketball, it's just a game. It is really just a game. What we have here is more important.
So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore.
They're all available to you right now at DuffTyler.podbean.com. And that's A Duff Said. Friday night's game is not just a showdown between 2 really good football teams. It's also a gathering of 2 of my all-time favorite student sections, Midland and Mount Pleasant. Now these 2 groups, they always bring the noise. But then last week, I met up with 2 more really boisterous crowds from Grand Blanc and Lapeer.
Grand Blanc, Lapeer!
So I got to thinking, Why don't we have a student section showdown to determine at the end of this high school football season who will be the official A Duff Said student section? All right, so here's what you got to do, guys. Go to your student section Twitter handles and tweet out that your student section listens to hashtag A Duff Said. So if you're the Kimmicks, tweet out the Kimmicks listen to hashtag A Duff Said. If you're the Oilers, tweet out the Oilers listen to hashtag A Duff Said. If you're the Lightning, tweet out the Lightning listen to hashtag A Duff Said. And if you're the Bobcats listen to hashtag A Duff Said. So how are we going to determine the winner out of all this? Well, the two tweets that get the most retweets between now and 7 o'clock on Friday night will be declared the winners, and they will be moving on in the next matchup. So good luck, get to retweeting, and thank you so much for everybody who listened to episode 13 of A Duff Said. Thanks once again to Eric Mettner and Jason McIntyre for being my guests this week, and be sure to listen next week for episode 14. And remember, if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff Said.